welcome to yet another installment of the Freedom Talks podcast. We've taken a little bit of a break. It's been about 3 months now since I've put out an episode. But as we've been in captivity, so to speak, for about 2 weeks now since the coronavirus has really spread rampantly throughout the United States and has really shut a lot of things down, I thought it'd be a good idea to put out some new content and thought you guys might respond well to it since we're kind of running out of things to do. I have my wife, Carrie, with me this evening.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking through a few things with the coronavirus, navigating through it. So I wanted to start with just some initial thoughts on the COVID-19 situation. Now, some of you might remember the situation unfolding differently than others, but I know for me, whenever I first knew that the coronavirus situation was really serious is when the NBA season was announced that it was canceled. And it was announced late on a Wednesday night. And I remember going to PT early the next morning on that Thursday. And I was doing a combatives program with the Marines at the time. That's since been canceled. You obviously don't want to be ground fighting with people. That's definitely not meeting the 6-foot rule. But I saw my friend Willie in there. Shout out to Willie. He's a great supporter of the podcast. We talked about it, and it's just kind of surreal talking about how the season for the NBA was canceled.
Yeah, I think I remember it being so weird because I remember you woke me up that morning to say goodbye, and the first thing you said, you didn't say good morning or anything like that. The first thing you said was, the NBA's been canceled. And obviously, me first waking up took me a little bit to process it, and I thought it was weird that that was the first thing that you said when I woke up, but it was just so unusual. Nothing like this has ever happened before.
Yeah, so prior to that, obviously we had heard about COVID-19. It was very prevalent in China, of course, and then it moved into Washington State, California, New York, some of the other port cities in the country. But it wasn't really immediately affecting us. So, of course, we were going about the standard procedures of washing our hands and things like that. But it didn't really seem like it was going to affect us too much. But once that season was canceled, it was such a rapidly developing situation. And Commissioner Adam Silver really led the way, I felt like, for social distancing and canceling different things. And then one by one, all the professional sports canceled their seasons. And it was really heartbreaking for me to see March Madness canceled. That's honestly my favorite sports event in the whole year. So that was really tough. And then from there, we just saw all kinds of restrictions imposed with staying at home and only going for essential items. So it was just really crazy how quickly it unfolded, and that sports cancellation really seemed to tip it off for me.
No pun intended. But I think that it was a good thing. I think that it kind of really started the momentum and telling people how serious it was. I think that we would be in a lot more trouble if they hadn't canceled things as quickly as they did. I know it's disappointing for a lot of us that we can't watch our sports, and for the athletes as well, especially those college athletes, the seniors who will never get to play another game at their college again. I know it's disappointing for them, but I'm really thankful that it was all stopped when it was, so to prevent the spread.
So now let me ask you, Carrie, what has annoyed you or discouraged you the most about this whole situation?
I think the discouraging part is just not being able to get around other people and have that community and contact with other people, and even just like the general fear when you're in large crowds or at the supermarket, just the unknown definitely has been the most discouraging part. The unknown, the nobody really knows when this is going to stop or end, and it's just we're kind of going day by day with no really a clear end in sight. So that's been what's most discouraging for me personally.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with the social aspect of that. I think everyone else is on the same page with you. It's been interesting to me as I've gone on walks and runs about the neighborhood and seen other people, and it seems like a lot more people are out than normal, and they are a lot more friendly.
Yeah.
It's crazy where we are in Maryland. People aren't super quick to greet just random strangers. And whenever we've been out and about lately, it's just everybody's saying, hey, how you doing? Smile on their faces. So I guess that's kind of a good thing, but it's just a lot different. People are looking for any kind of social interaction because they don't really have it right now. And thinking about the situation globally, Italy is one of the other top three countries that have been affected, and that is largely due to their social nature. The Italians are very much about having a multi-generational family. Their grandparents live with them, and they are just always socializing with other families. They didn't quickly stop a lot of their regular practices, so that's what led to such a quick spread of the virus. And I think that's unfortunately true in the U.S. as well. And we were a little bit behind them in the curve, but we can see that it's been climbing exponentially in the last few days. And the peak is set to hit in the next couple weeks, according to our president. And hopefully that curve will finally be flattened and will resume to normal life in the next couple of months or so.
So with all of that being said, we would just really encourage you all, as difficult and discouraging as it is, just please stay at home. Please don't get together, even if it is groups of less than 10 people, just for a couple of weeks. I understand that's hard. Ryan and I have both been doing that. We've declined invitations to meet up with people just as a personal decision to not get together, even if it is less than 10 people. We have made trips out to the grocery store, but that's it. And we do go run by ourselves and making sure we're keeping the proper distance from other people. But it's really hard. We understand that. But we're just encouraging you all, just for the next couple of weeks, just stay home, take it seriously, just so we can sometime soon get back to normal.
Yeah, for sure. Just to go back to the original question, for me, for annoyance, I've got to say that it is the hoarders. I'm not really too big on that, and it just really strikes me the wrong way whenever I see people that just take everything whenever others are not getting any of that good, whatever it is, toilet paper or whatever. But you have to kind of take a step back whenever you get annoyed with those people and think, why are they doing what they're doing? And it goes back to what we've already mentioned, and it's that there is really no end in sight. And whenever kind of the panic at the stores first started, I'm assuming people thought they wouldn't be able to get groceries for weeks or months, and they just were trying to get whatever they wanted to support their families.
Yeah, I think it was just all fear, and it is discouraging that some people took more than necessary, but you can try to understand that they were just afraid, and this whole unknown kind of stirred it along and made it bigger than it was. But I do understand. I can kind of see both sides.
So then we've talked about some discouragements and annoyances. Is there any benefit to this or any positive thing that you've experienced during this time, Carrie?
I don't want to callously say that I've been benefited by this, because it is a really serious situation. And just a little caveat for both Ryan and I and his podcast, that we're so heartbroken over the people who have been affected by this so seriously, the people who have lost their job and financial stability, people who have family members who have been killed by this virus, and those who have even just been taken sick. I know it's a horrible virus and it just completely defeats your body physically. But we're trying to really emphasize the positive in this midst of this situation. And because I think if we all focus on all of the bad things, it could lead to a lot of worse things. So that's what we're trying to do. So obviously we haven't been benefited by the virus. But one thing that has really helped me is I've gotten active more. We used to go to the gym fairly often, but obviously that's closed. So I've been running more, which I'm not a big runner at all, but I've just dedicated some time each day to run since that's the only physical activity outdoors that I can do, really. So that's been exciting to kind of strengthen my body, even in a time as odd and unknown as this. And then just Ryan and I being able to spend some more time together as we both are at home, working from home. That's been really a big blessing for us. And fortunately, we haven't gotten too much on each other's nerves by this point, but check again next week. That might be a different story, but just being able to have more time together and not trying to take that time for granted has been a really big blessing.
Definitely. And I'll share some positive things in just a few minutes. I'm going to talk about what we should do about this whole virus situation. But I have one more question just in these initial thoughts for Carrie, and it's this. Did Carol Baskin kill her husband?
Yes, she did.
I agree.
Yeah. No amount of cool cats and kittens can convince me otherwise.
Yeah, she's definitely guilty. Mm-hmm. So, in case you don't know what we're talking about here.
Who doesn't know what we're talking about right here?
Well, I mean, there might be a few people that somehow missed The Tiger King, the number one show on Netflix right now. In case you haven't seen it yet, it's a little bit different.
Tigers are amazing.
They are very incredible. They're my new favorite animals. Animal. But there's a lot more to the show than just tigers. So some very intriguing characters that you would not expect in the big cat zoo world. But they are incredibly interesting, to say the least.
And guilty.
So that kind of serves as a segue into the next part that I want to talk about. And what should we do with all of this? Because you can only watch so much Netflix and play so many rounds of video games before your mind and body just shrivels up. You just kind of know that you're supposed to do something. We were made to work. We were made to socialize. So there's got to be something more to what we're doing. So what should we really do? And one of the first things that I want to say here is going to kind of contradict what I'm going to go on to say. But first point I want to make is realize there's nothing you can do to change the situation. And what I mean by that is the damage that's been done cannot be reversed. So the social distancing, the stay-at-home orders, they aren't going away anytime soon. And that's unfortunate. Obviously, we don't like that, but it's something that we need to follow. We need to come to peace with, because if we just get upset about it and pout about it, then it's not going to do any good. And I've seen some people that have kind of voiced their opinion about not necessarily actively resisting the government, but they're voicing their opinion about not being happy about the restrictions that are being in place.
And that's fine. You have a right to your opinion. You have a right to be unhappy. Some of the things make me nervous about down the road when all of this is gone, hopefully, in the near future. A lot of the things that have been in place now make me nervous about the longevity of some orders. And that's fine. You have a right to be dissentful. But it's bigger than your personal opinion. This crisis is bigger than that. It's killing people. It's ruining people's lives and livelihoods. So I think that it's fine. You're justified to feel the way you are, but I would just caution those who act upon those opinions right now, as we are in the midst of a global crisis.
Right. So for me, it's not about an infringement of freedoms. Obviously, we like freedoms here on the Freedom Talks podcast, but it's about protection and safety, and ultimately, protection is one of the primary functions of government. So that's what they're trying to accomplish with all of these restrictions. We realize there's nothing you can do about the situation, so then I'm going to flip it around and say, do your part to change the situation. And first of all, we've already kind of covered this, but follow guidance that's put out by medical professionals and government officials, and stay home, please.
Yes, please stay home.
And one of the largest ways that this virus has been spread in America is through friendly gatherings of just a couple of families. While you might think, oh, I'm less than 10 people or whatever, it's still making other contact with other humans and just further extending these shelter-in-place regulations. So we definitely don't want to do that. That's not to mention outbreaks that have happened in hospitals and nursing homes. And my father's actually in a hospital right now, and that really stinks. Nobody can visit him right now, and that's really unfortunate. He's doing okay. It's a tough time, but we just have to follow the orders that we've been given to prevent any further spreading of the virus.
And speaking of hospitals, big thanks to all medical personnel, people who are on the front lines, physically, literally risking their lives, not being able to be with their families, those who are working in the medical community, first responders, even grocery store workers and truck drivers. We're so thankful for you. We know it's hard, or we can imagine it's hard for you guys, but we're so thankful for you. So thank you for all you do. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for taking the time to fight this crisis. We're just thankful for you.
Also, this should go without saying, but please do wash your hands for 20 seconds. Sing SpongeBob intro or whatever you got to do to get that 20 seconds. And just practice basic hygiene and common sense. I saw a video the other day about someone wearing surgical gloves around, and it showed that the virus can be just as easily spread while you're wearing gloves. So if you make that decision, if you make the decision to wear a mask, that doesn't really protect you as much as you might think it would. So please just still avoid touching your face. Try to avoid making contact with other surfaces. I'm a mild germaphobe all the time, so don't touch doorknobs, use a jacket or whatever, and just use some common sense there.
Which, have you noticed, since people have been saying don't touch your face, all you want to do is just touch your face? And I'm not normally a person who like touches my face, but I just feel the urge so much because I'm not allowed to do it.
Yeah, and the Army has trained the soldiers to do this basic training. I can remember on hot sunny July days, standing in line at the DFAC waiting to get some lunch, sweat's dripping down my face, gnats are flying all around me, and I have to stand at the position of attention, not moving my head or eyes at all. So I guess that was good for something, though in the regular Army, you don't do anything like that at all. That was good training for this, just having that discipline to resist the urges to scratch your nose or whatever it is. So beyond that, what should we do at this time? And one of the things that I've thought of is just trying to better yourself. I mentioned at the beginning of this year that I wanted to do a better job reading, and I have done more than I usually would, but I have fallen a little bit short of my goals, but that's fine. I'm gonna pick it back up, and this is an excellent opportunity for me to do that. And I actually kind of skipped ahead in my book list that I had made because I had a project for a class that I'm taking right now to review a financial book and apply some principles to a Christian school administrator, as the program that I'm doing focuses on that. And I read through the Total Money Makeover in 4 days, which was a pretty amazing feat for me. It's over 200 pages. And I hope to continue to read and to be able to get some extra knowledge of things that I normally wouldn't take the time to read going about my normal schedule.
I think another thing that is good during this time, aside from reading and exercise, like I mentioned, running, is just spending time as a family, having game nights, or I know there's so many people that are having creative ideas. You can find those on social media. So I think it's investing in the time that's been given to us by staying safe and staying at home, but just kind of using this time and not wasting this time to grow as a family. And just even just with Ryan and I, just grow as a couple in our relationship. So not wasting this time relationally, but also spiritually. We can get in our Bibles more, and we can learn more and use the time wisely.
Yeah, the extra family time is fantastic. And another thing that I wanted to mention here is talking about forming good habits. Whenever we get into a routine, a lot of times we'll just go throughout our day and we'll do the things that we just have to do. And then a lot of times, at least for me, we'll come home and just kind of waste away for the rest of the evening. And there's certain things that we want to do that we just don't have the energy, we think, to just sit down and have the discipline to actually do it, to learn whatever skill it is that we want to learn. So I wanted to talk about the idea of forming good habits and forming micro habits to reach the goals that you want to reach. So Carrie mentioned running earlier, and I think that serves as a good example for us. So let's just say that you want to run, say, a half marathon or a marathon. You're not going to go out and try to run 13 or 26 miles on your very first run. I think that's pretty obvious. But what do you need to do? You need to go out and see how far you can run to start with, and then assess where you're at, and then kind of go about your max or so and just push yourself every day. Say, I'm going to run 2 miles for three times a week for a couple weeks, and then assess yourself again and see how far you can go and just keep on pushing your limits. Say another physical example, say you want to do 20 pull-ups. Well, if you can only do 3, you're probably going to get discouraged if you try to do sets of 10. So you just need to take it slow and just kind of accept that you're not going to be able to be perfect and get right to that goal really quickly. That's kind of something that we struggle with in American society today, is we just want the result right now and we don't want to put in the work to get to it. So forming those micro habits of, say, with reading has been mentioned. If I say I want to read this whole book and I don't have a set time to do it, I don't have any structure to it, then it's going to be difficult to attain that goal. So you have to set small goals to be able to reach that ultimate goal.
And I think this can apply to more than physical things. I think if we're wanting to apply it to relational aspects of our life, if you're missing the connection of other people, you can set a goal that you're going to call or text one person every day, or one person 3 times a week, one different person 3 times a week. So you're getting that connection, because I think we have a danger during this time to kind of just hunker down, both in our houses but also in our hearts and our minds. So we can just kind of come inside and close ourselves off to the world and to each other and to bettering ourselves as well. We can just kind of like wrap ourselves in our burrito blankets metaphorically and not use this time that's been given to us in a good way, like forming these small habits of running a certain amount or reading a chapter a day, or, you know, baking a new recipe every week, or doing whatever that skill is that we want to achieve, or that relational goal that we are wanting to achieve. And I think this is the time that we can start to form these habits, because as Americans, we like to go, 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 and there's never any time to do that. Well, now's the time that we can do it. So it would be bad if we had this time and chose not to use it.
I like that a lot. And one thing that's I've always heard about making goals is that if it's just in your head, then it's just a dream. And it's whenever you actually put it down on paper and you write down some specifics that it becomes more of a reality.
And so, also finding a way to track it is very satisfying.
For sure.
Just being able to write down, like, I ran 1 mile today and I ran 1 mile tomorrow, and, you know, just being able to track your progress and see how far you've come is going to be a big motivation for you.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you could make some accountability by talking to another person about it and have them check in on you on how you're doing with your goal. And that's just one way that you can work on forming some good habits and trying to form whatever skill it is that you're trying to build up in your life.
As we kind of wrap up this COVID-19 section of the podcast, Ryan and I just wanted to say one final thing, one word of encouragement for anyone who's had a big life moment that's been canceled or postponed because of this, for all the seniors graduating high school or college, for anyone who is getting married in the next couple of months, and you've all just had to drastically change your plans and your big life events that you thought you were going to be able to celebrate with your families and loved ones. We're so sorry that that happened to you. We're supporting of you, and we want you to know that the hurt that you're feeling is justified, and we grieve with you for the losses that you're having to experience. We kind of can empathize. Ryan and I were thrown a major curveball 3 weeks before our wedding when my father suddenly passed away. So we understand having to change plans and grieving and over losses and things that aren't really fair, but God is good, and he knew this was going to happen in the way it was going to happen. And so we're just encouraging you to not lose hope and to look forward in your life and not grieve over things forever, but just understand that we are sorry that you had to go through these things, and we encourage you just to look to God for your source of hope and comfort in these times.
Very well said, Carrie. I echo all of that. And stay tuned. Following this short break, we will be discussing managing a budget. What's up, guys? As we get into this financial segment and talking about budgeting, I want to kind of talk about it from a different perspective a little bit before we get to all the nuts and bolts of it. And forming any habit, like we were talking about before, it really is a matter of your heart. And there has to be a honest desire to change in order to have good results with the budget in this case. Many young people and even some older people that may have not been educated in managing their money, they'll just lay out all their money on the table and then just kind of hope everything gets paid off and hope there's enough money to pay off for your basic needs and get a couple of things that you want along the way as well. So to combat that anxiety-filled cycle of just hoping you have enough money every month, I want to share some facts with you on budgeting. And remember, though, that in managing your money, that it is only 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. It's all about behaving the right way. And like I said at the beginning, making sure your heart really desires to change and to reach the goals that you want to financially. To start from the top with budgeting, the first thing you really need is a good resource to help you to track everything. Some people might just use a regular old spreadsheet, or you might even do it on paper. But what I recommend personally, and what I use, is the Every Dollar app. It's on the App Store and Google Play, and it's from Dave Ramsey's team. And it's a really phenomenal app. It is free, and there is a premium version that automatically syncs with your bank account and puts in whatever transactions that you make with your debit card. But I prefer just to use the standard version, and actually manually recording the transactions helps me to know better where my money's going. First thing with a budget is you've got to note your income. That would obviously include your payroll from your job, your direct deposit. But also, don't forget to include any odd jobs you might do. You might get some cash from some little odd job that you do. You might get some gifts from family or whoever. Tax return, any bonuses, or whatever the case may be, make sure you include all money that comes in into your income. Because the goal with this Every Dollar budget is that you want every single dollar to have a name on it. You don't want to just have money floating around. You want to tell it where to go. One of the goals with Dave Ramsey is that whenever you become debt-free and you start investing and you get yourself in a good financial position, that you can live like no one else, so that one day you can live and give like no one else. If you accumulate a bunch of wealth, and it's pretty well documented that whenever you just amass a bunch of wealth and keep it to yourself, that it's not satisfying at all. Somebody that has it all in Hollywood and has everything you could possibly think of in terms of possessions, they're often miserable people. So giving is a huge thing, and it's really important. As a Christian, I make tithing a very important thing, and officially that's 10% of your income, but I try to give a little bit more than that. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but it is important because from my perspective, I'm just a steward of the money that God gives me, and it's not mine to begin with. So I'm gonna give to His church and to His work, and that's an extremely important step for me. So that's the first thing that's under income in the Every Dollar app. And then after that, it's savings. And with savings, you've got to have an emergency fund because life happens. Murphy exists. Murphy's Law, that if anything can go wrong, it will, and at the worst time possible. So you got to be ready for those rainy days. And a $1,000 emergency fund is recommended to handle whatever car repair or the washer breaks or whatever the case may be. You're ready for that unexpected expense. On top of that, you might want to have some type of retirement account, Roth IRAs are preferred, and go into that some other time, talk more specifically about those investments. And then you might have like a vacation fund or something else that you're saving for in your savings portion. And then after that, it's kind of just your general expenses, and they're categorized, and you can customize this as well. The first one that I have is housing utilities. And in the military, we have a basic housing allowance, which is really nice. And it's a pretty high allowance in my area, which is a huge blessing. It's designed to cover your rent and your utilities, but there's still a little bit of margin there for me. So I'm able to pocket that extra money, which is really nice. So you include here your rent, your electricity, your water, your internet. You might put your phone bill in here. Then transportation, we all got to have gas. I also have parking and public transportation on here, as that's something that I frequently use. So you want to have a set amount for those things. You might want to put oil changes and other maintenance in here. And that's not something that you're going to have every single month, but you don't want to be surprised by that when those things come along. Then you've got food. This is one of the biggest ones, and one of the ones that Carrie and I have had to work on the most. Making sure that you are smart with the groceries that you buy, and that you set yourself to a limit on what you spend when you're grocery shopping. But more so than that, we have a restaurant budget, and that's the one that tends to be the most fluid. And whenever you set a budget and you put an amount in different categories, you want to try to stick to that. And a lot of times the restaurant one is the one that gets changed the most. So you want to be careful of that and try to limit that as much as possible. And then we have one for drinks and treats. Just you stop to get fountain drink or energy drink or a coffee or ice cream or whatever it is. And this is another one that can get us in trouble too. So you gotta know your weaknesses and try to minimize the damage on those things. Then the next one that has the most like various expenses is just called lifestyle. Then that category is called lifestyle. I've got here education for tuition bill. I put my mobile phone under lifestyle. Household items, health and beauty, like your toiletries and stuff like that. Clothes, haircut, streaming services, entertainment, miscellaneous. This is really just anything. Blow money. You want to have some money that you can just spend on whatever. And then fitness for a gym membership. And also have gaming in here, but I don't have anything allocated for that right now. The next category is insurance and taxes. Car and renter's insurance, and then prescriptions and doctor visits. And then the last one is debt, and I have a few accounts that I pay to on that. I have become credit card debt free recently, which is really exciting. I actually do have a little bit of a balance on one, but I'll be able to pay that off again at the end of the month. And then still got a car payment that Carrie and I are going to try to attack and get paid off as quickly as possible. We've already been paying more than the minimums, and we want to pay significantly more than the minimums so we can become completely debt-free and not have to worry about making those payments every month and save more of our income and start investing some more as well. That's kind of a breakdown of the app. Sorry if that listing was kind of boring, but you just gotta expect whenever you start budgeting that you're going to fail. I found that whenever I have to adjust my budget significantly as you go through job changes, changes in location, that it takes about 3 months to get it right. Things that can change a lot is your utility bills as you move from place to place, and obviously your income. And you gotta be flexible and kind of forgive yourself, understand it's not gonna be perfect right at the beginning. But then it's just a matter of actually doing it. You don't wanna just set something and then forget about it. You want to actually get your receipts, and you don't necessarily need to save them, but use them to record those transactions and track how much you've planned and how much you've spent already and how much you have left, so you can kind of gauge if you can spend whatever amount on whatever the item is. So as you begin budgeting and you do make mistakes, it helps you to realize that you're spending more than you probably should in a certain area, say for me, restaurants, or maybe for you, it's clothes or entertainment or whatever it is. Then what that helps you to do is kind of step back and really start to differentiate between what's a want and what's a need. I believe I talked about this before on the episode where we talked about shopping for the holidays. I want a new TV, I want a gun, I want a new truck, or whatever the case may be. But do you really need it? You need to really determine what's important for you financially and use that differentiation of wants and needs to drive your financial decisions. So I've tried to give you a couple of principles of budgeting and listed off some things for you as far as different categories in your budget. But I want to give you some numbers here, or percentages rather, to kind of help you to gauge your budget. One of the biggest things that you should think about whenever you move into a new apartment or townhouse, if you're renting or if you're trying to buy a house and determine what your mortgage payment should be, you should never really spend more than 30% of your income on housing. So that's going to be a big part of your income, or a big part of your expenses out of your income. So that's a percentage that you should keep in mind. Another thing is, if you're in a good position and don't have debt, then you want to invest at least 15% of your income. And I've already mentioned about giving at least 10% of your income. But if you have debt, you want to try to cut down on your expenses as much as possible. You should really attack the debt that you have, because it's just going to suck your income and keep you from building wealth. So again, having a budget is just telling your money where to go, so that you don't just waste your money on things you don't really need and don't really track where your money's going, and just have random amounts of money just floating in your checking account when you could be investing it. I think one of the biggest things is just going back to the resource. Every Dollar app will be a good help to you, or I'm sure there's other good apps out there. This is just the one that I've chosen. So yeah, just making good financial decisions could be a good goal for you to have during this COVID situation, to get your finances in order and to just prepare for a better financial future, because you don't want to be like over half of Americans that when they get to retirement age, they couldn't survive for 3 months based on what they have in their savings. And that's a really sad place to be. We have the information out there to put ourselves in a good financial position. Again, it's just a matter of telling your money where to go and telling your heart no whenever you desire things that you don't really need. So I hope that's been helpful for you if you're new to trying to form a budget and manage your money. But before we wrap up this episode, I just wanted to leave you with a little challenge. As we talk about money, and as I referenced before, how the pursuit of wealth kept to yourself is pretty pointless and not satisfying at all, I challenge you during this time of isolation and just staying at home, just hit the reset button and just kind of ask yourself, what am I really pursuing and what do I really care about? I was recently challenged as I was reading through my Bible in the book of Judges, and I was listening to a podcast that was summarizing Judges chapter 1 and 2, and the person doing the recap said, theocracy may sound like a great idea, but having God as your leader doesn't mean you follow him. The problem is the human heart. It doesn't respond to laws, it responds to what it loves. And a lot of times what we say we love and what we actually put our time and our money into are two completely different things. So I just challenge you to reevaluate your priorities and what you're putting your time into. While we have no excuse to say, I don't have any time for that right now, we have nothing but time. So I just encourage you to use your time wisely, to love your fellow man, and as always, to live free.